All right. Good afternoon, everyone. This is the Judicial Branch Budget Committee meeting for September 18, 2023. All members of our committee are present here in Judicial Council offices and chamber, and we're looking forward to having our first in-person meeting in a long time. I will just remind everyone that this meeting is open to the public and it is being recorded. The meeting is being attended by various people virtually. Members of the public can watch the meeting via a listen-in only video feed. Budget Committee members and others who may be presenting or answering questions, please remember to unmute yourself if you are appearing by video. And whether you're appearing by video or in person, prior to speaking, please state who you are for purposes of the recording. I do want to say to begin with, first, I would like to welcome our newest member to the JBBC, the Honorable Charles S. Crompton, sitting to my left, Superior Court Judge from the County of San Francisco. Welcome. Thank you. Welcome. We're happy to have you. It's just super fun. I hope you like numbers. I know you do. And I'm very, very happy and frankly quite relieved that Mr. David Yamasaki has agreed to serve as our vice chair of our committee. As we all know, Mr. Yamasaki is deep in the knowledge of the branch and all of our budgetary issues, concerns, prospects, exciting things. So thank you, Mr. Yamasaki. And for all continuing members, welcome back. Thank you for your continued efforts with the committee. We're looking forward to have a productive year. And now, Ms. Cowan, if you wouldn't mind, please, would you take roll?
Yes, Judge Mormon?
Present.
Mr. Yamasaki?
Here.
Justice Fujisaki?
Here.
Justice Hill?
Here.
Judge Armendariz?
Here.
Judge Botke?
Here.
Judge Crompton?
Here.
And Ms. Hill?
Here.
Thank you. We have eight members counted for. We have a quorum.
Okay, thank you very much. So among the agenda items we have today are two sets of minutes, one from our meeting on August 7th, 2023, and one from the August 10th, 2023 action by email. The minutes are part of your materials and appear at pages 4 through 6 if you're looking at them electronically. And if anybody has reviewed the minutes and would like to make a motion, I would entertain that now.
Armendariz moves.
Thank you.
Yamasaki seconds.
Thank you, Mr. Yamasaki. There's a first and a second. Was there any discussion about either set of minutes? Any questions, comments, concerns? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposition? Any abstentions?
I abstained from the 10th. I wasn't present.
Thank you. Ms. Hill will abstain from the minutes from the 10th. All right, Ms. Cowan, did we receive any public comment for today's meeting?
No public comment was received.
Thank you. So that will the meeting. So I actually, I think at this time, I'm going to recognize John Wardlaw as our chief administrative officer. We all know and value Mr. Wardlaw, and we're going to have more to say about that in the future. He has announced his retirement effective at the end of the year, end of the calendar year, and we are sad but happy for you. And like I said, we'll have more to say about that. But John, if you don't mind, I'd like you to introduce for the record, for those of our members present today and for any of those watching, our Adam Dorsey, who will take over as our chief administrative officer after you have parted ways with us. So please.
Great. Thank you, Judge and Council, our committee members. It's my huge pleasure to introduce you to Adam Dorsey. He's a long-term employee of the Department of Finance. He was what's called a program budget manager. And for those who don't know, at the Department of Finance, they have in their top leadership program budget managers. Adam spent more than 15 years at the Department of Finance. He's just a real veteran. He's a great resource for us. I'm just thrilled to have him join the council. And with that, I'll turn it over to Adam.
Thank you. I'm really honored to be here. I really appreciate the Judicial Council placing their trust in me. It's been an honor to work with John over the years, and I'm really just looking forward to helping the judicial branch navigate the state government budget process, and I'm looking forward to assisting in any way that I can in the future. So thank you so much for having me, and it's an honor to be here.
Thank you. I know the chief is very excited. We'll probably hear more tomorrow about that. But again, thank you for joining us. It's a great team. You're a fantastic, fantastic addition. So we really appreciate your time here with us.
Thank you.
All right. So we have, I think, four substantive matters on our agenda today. And Judge Conklin has something to do with each of them. As chair of TICBAC, that's often the case. As the JBBC has oversight responsibility for TICBAC, and many of the items, both educational and actionable, come to our committee through TICBAC, and that is indeed the case today. John, you may have people joining you. Ms. Snyder from the Center for Families and Children in the Courts. I don't know if she's joining us electronically. Oh, there she is. Okay.
Great. Thanks so much. It's good to see everybody in person. Sometimes my most effective role is as a pass-through, and that's what I intend to fulfill today. You're going to hear from four experts in the area for each of these four items by a very brief background. Pardon me. These have all gone through TICBAC. They've passed, to the best of my recollection, unanimously through the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee and now come to you for your consideration. The first one of those today is Model Self-Help Pilot Program Update. So that's going to be, we're going to hear from Ms. Melanie Snyder with CFCC. And I think Melanie is present via Zoom with us today. So as I promised I would do, Melanie, I'm going to turn it over to you for presentation. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And thank you, committee members, for both for your time and for allowing me to present this information and ask for your recommendations for funding for these model self-help pilot project programs. So just a little background before we get into the recommendation. The Model Self-Help Pilot Program has been operating in five trial courts since 2002. The Superior Court of Contra Costa decided not to go forward with their grant beginning in 2019. And since that year, the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee recommended and the Judicial Council approved allowing all courts to apply for funds to expand their use of technology in providing self-help assistance as part of a consolidated technology funding application process. And this was a new process to us in 2019. It provides additional courts the opportunity to expand their services using technology. So using a consolidated funding application process, it minimized the time and allowed more courts to apply. Nine courts submitted a total of 13 applications for a combined request of over $438,000. To ensure the most effective use of funding, the Judicial Council's CFCC staff coordinated the proposal reviews with the Court Technology and Modernization Fund and the Language Access and Signage Technology Grant Reviews. And we identified $165,670 in model self-help applications that could be funded using those other sources. So that left a remaining $273,155 dollars that were eligible to receive a portion of the available $191,400. 10 applications are recommended for funding for that allocation of $191,400, and those applications and courts and the corresponding amounts that they're requesting are on page 8 of your materials. So I would ask you to please approve this recommendation for this funding.
Melanie, thank you. So just to echo that, the recommendation is at page 7 of 18 and 8 of 18. 8 is the chart setting forth the specific financial request from each court or allocation. And the recommendation itself is at page 7. And with that, I'll turn it over to anybody that has questions or concerns.
Are there any questions for Judge Conklin or Ms. Snyder? I think I just would comment, we're all aware, both through the pandemic and through our review of all the innovations grants, our self-help centers have become more and more and more valuable and more, lots more traffic, and that's not going to change going forward. So this is a great continuum of a project that started long ago. If there are no questions, does anybody have a motion?
I move approval, Rachel Hill.
And the recommendation appearing at page 7 of our materials to pass this along to our November meeting for the Judicial Council. All right. There's a motion by Ms. Hill. Any second?
Fujisaki second.
And Justice Fujisaki has seconded. Thank you. And not to cut off any conversation, is there any questions, comments, further discussion? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? All right, Ms. Snyder, thank you. Thank you for your time, your memo, your presentation today. Very thorough, very helpful.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Okay, you take care. All right, Judge Conklin, we'll turn to item 2. And I know you've been joined by Ms. Alvarado here. Good morning.
Good morning.
Nice to see you. And our second item today concerns an additional IMF allocation for seizure education. Judge Conklin?
Thank you very much. And I'm sure you're all aware of how important CEJR is to us and the excellent work they do. This is just going to supplement and further their successful work for us. This comes actually from R&E to you through TICBAC. And once again, so as not to confuse you, I'm going to turn it over to Corrine so she can enlighten you on the recommendation that is set forth in your materials, ultimately at page 10 of 18.
Thank you, Judge Conklin. So as you know, the Judicial Council offers education for justices, judges, and subordinate judicial officers. The Center for Judicial Education and Research receives an IMF allocation each year to provide that education. And the rules of court, specifically 10.462, require specific education for new judicial officers. That includes the new judge orientation program, an orientation in the area of their primary assignment, and the judicial college. So those are required for all new judges to attend. Happily, there have been a lot of new judge appointments recently, many more than we've seen historically, and certainly a lot more than we've seen since the beginning of the pandemic. So our anticipated, our planning of the number of programs and the amount of space that we would allow in each program to meet the needs of the new judges were an underestimate. More new judges have been appointed than the funding allows for us to serve. So we're requesting a $150,000 increase to this year's allocation in order to meet that need and serve these additional new judicial officers in this required education. Thank you for considering the request.
And I'm just going to add briefly, as a judge who's both, well, almost two decades ago participated in NJO and the Judicial College and recently have the privilege of going there as an instructor, a very little sliver of what they're taught. It's invaluable, the work. And I just want to congratulate CEJR and Corrine on the work they do for the judges, the new judges. For the judges here, you probably all remember your new judge orientation, your Judicial College experience, and the colleagues you met through that. And I just think I would wholly endorse this recommendation. I think this money is a drop in the bucket about how effective CEJR is for all of us.
I would move approval.
All right, thank you, Justice Hill.
Seconds. And I just, Judge Mormon, I would echo what Judge Conklin said. I've worked with Corrine for many years on CEJR, all kinds of different projects, but Judicial College as a participant and as a teacher there at times, it's invaluable. This is money that is absolutely well spent.
Yeah,
I second.
Thank you. Thank you, Judge Botke. Seconds the motion, and I we all do recognize that our judicial education is sort of the, I don't know, it's the feather in the branch, it's the collection of, it's maybe the whole bird, I don't really know. But thank you, Ms. Alvarado. And I do want to say, I think it's important for the public to understand, at least with our NJO, our new judge orientations, we do try to keep the classes to a, you know, manageable size so the experience for them can be that much better. So we're trying to offer more courses in line with the attendance parameters you try to meet, correct?
Correct.
Okay, great. Any other comments? Questions? All right, there's a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? All right, and I vote aye as well. All right, the motion carries. Thank you. And thank you, Ms. Alvarado.
Thank you.
All right, we'll move to item three. Judge Conklin, we're going to adjust an IMF allocation adjustment for 2023 for, hello, Ms. Pettit, the Information Technology Office. And please go ahead.
Thank you very much. And another, pardon my informality, but another pro from Dover is joining you today. And that's Heather, as you all know, to present this item. This does come to you once again from RNE. And it's, again, to consider a very specific request of $721,490 for the information technology to renew an interbranch agreement with Madera. And I'll let Heather explain that.
Great. Thank you. Thank you, committee. It's wonderful. Happy Monday. It kind of feels odd on a Monday to have this conversation, but it is. So this is a first thing I think it's important to note about this. This is not new money. This is money that was provided to Madera through a BCP that we received one-time funding for our digitization efforts. During their process, their vendor has stopped doing work and discontinued their contract. So because of the timelines, the money has reverted back to IMF. And so they are requesting that we extend the use of that money once again, which is that a little over $700,000, so they continue their efforts. They did spend a couple hundred thousand dollars of their original allocation. We do have other vendors available to them to be able to do this work. We're very confident that this is something that they're going to continue to do. And again, it's been a huge initiative within the branch. That has been a number one priority from the technology committee to ensure that we are moving forward this path of digitization. One of the questions that's come up in the previous meeting that I do think it's important to note is that, is this enough money? Well, as we all know, we have lots and lots of paperwork. We've already processed, 64 million worth of digital records right now, which is significant. It's a drop in the bucket compared to what we have in warehouses. So this is going to be an effort that we need to continue to pursue and keep going on. And I know that that is foundational to what the technology committee, you know, wants to do. So the request is then is to renew the use of this money going forward so Madera can keep their digitization efforts going forward.
And I'll add as well, just as a comment for court users, I mean, I'm one of the old guys that had paper files for a long time, and now I couldn't live without digital files and the digitization and how easy that makes our jobs, I think, to be able to pull a file up instantly. And the courts that do that work, and this one included a sister court to Fresno, I think is very important to the branch.
Okay, well said. Do you have a question, comment?
No, Judge Mormon, I just wanted to add to, thank you for allowing me the time to add some commentary on this, David Yamasaki. So I applaud Madera's plans to continue to move forward with this digitization project. It will yield that court substantially in terms of accessing records and continue to make available those records that will negate the, you know, expenditures that are going on to maintaining hard copy records. And I know it can be frustrating at times when a vendor maybe stops doing business. But again, I applaud that court for continuing to make the commitment to digitize the records. And I appreciate this proposal to make monies available for them to complete this task. And with that, I would be happy to move approval of the recommendation that has been provided.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Yamasaki. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Justice Hill, thank you for the second. Any other comments, questions? All right. If not, all those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? All right. The motion carried unanimously. Thank you, Ms. Pettit.
Thank you.
Great to see you. Thank you. All right, and we'll move to our last substantive item. Item number four concerns the Trail Court Trust Fund allocation adjustment for The Sergeant Schreiber Civil Council Pilot Program related to the Centers for Family and Children and the Courts. And we're joined again by Judge Conklin and Ms. Laura Brown on our video stream. Good morning or good afternoon, Ms. Brown. Welcome. And Go ahead, Judge Conklin.
Judge Mormon's introduction was perfect, and I'll turn it right over to Ms. Brown to detail the presentation for you.
Thank you, Judge Conklin. Good afternoon, committee members. My name is Laura Brown, and I am a senior analyst with the Judicial Council's Center for Families, Children, and the Courts. I am the lead staff to the Sergeant Schreiber Civil Council Act Implementation Committee. And it's my pleasure to be here today to present the recommendation to increase the trial court trust fund allocation by $3.567 million for the Sergeant Shriver Civil Council Program to fund grants for pilot projects to operate in fiscal year 23-24. This recommendation is detailed on pages 15 and 16 of your meeting materials. The Sergeant Shriver Civil Council Grant Program funds pilot projects that provide legal representation and improved court services to unrepresented low-income Californians, regardless of citizenship status, who are opposed by represented parties in civil matters involving critical issues affecting basic human needs. The civil case types allowed under the Schreiber program are housing, domestic violence, and civil harassment restraining orders, elder abuse, guardianship of the person, probate conservatorship, and child custody. Pilot projects are led by qualified legal service providers in partnerships with their local superior courts. Selection of the pilot projects was performed by the Sergeant Shriver Civil Council Act Implementation Committee in late March of 2023. The committee recommended funding 14 projects for $15.832 million in fiscal year 23-24. This would utilize a trial court trust fund allocation of $12.265 million and an additional allocation of $3.567 million from the existing program reserves, which currently are approximately $20 million. The Sergeant Shriver Civil Council Act provides that the reserves shall be used to administer the program, and the committee wants to ensure that the reserves are allocated to pilot projects to perform this very important work. The work performed by Shriver pilot projects aligned with Goal 1 of the Strategic Plan for California's Judicial Branch, Access, Fairness, Diversity, and Inclusion. By increasing representation in court services for low-income persons, regardless of their immigration status, in diverse geographic areas of our state, these funds will expand equal access to the courts, court proceedings, and programs. Pilot projects also perform case assessments that consider other needs for representation, including language, disability access, and literacy issues. So I'll conclude my remarks by requesting that the Judicial Branch Budget Committee approve the additional allocation of $3.567 million from the Shriver Program Reserves to fund qualified legal service providers and court partners for the administration of Shriver pilot projects.
Thank you very much. And the recommendation is stated is at page 18 of 18 of your materials. Thank you.
All right, thank you both. Any members of the committee have any questions or comments about the proposal? Seeing none, is there a motion?
Fujisaki, so moved.
Thank you. Justice Fujisaki has made the motion to approve the recommendation. Is there a second?
Yamasaki seconds.
Thank you, Mr. Yamasaki. There's a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstentions? All right. The motion is approved unanimously. Thank you. And thank you, Ms. Brown, Judge Conklin. Thank you both.
Hope you're not disappointed. We're 25 minutes ahead of schedule. If Judge Rubin was here, I'm sure he'd have me talk about Dodger baseball, but we won't do that. So
yes.
We'll turn it over. I'll turn it back to you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for all your hard work with TICBAC. And please thank the members of TICBAC for us. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, so this does take care of our substantive issues for today. I just would note that not all of our meetings go like this. Some of them are quite much longer, so we'll just take the 25 minutes off today. We're going to put it on some other meeting in the future. Our next open meeting is currently scheduled for Wednesday, November 15th. I'm not sure that date will remain, but we'll give everybody plenty of heads up. We will try to marry it up with the next Judicial Council meeting. As it gets a little bit closer. We also likely will need to have an action by email in October, and you'll be hearing from us as well. If there's anything for the good of the order, to borrow a phrase from Judge Rubin, now Justice Rubin. Mm-hmm. All right, seeing none, then the meeting stands in adjournment, and we can conclude the recording.